Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. No ceasefire with Hamas, says Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Israel did not start this war. Israel did not want this war. But Israel will win this war.
In which Israel is stepping up its ground offensive and life gets harder and harder for Palestinians caught up in the war, essentially locked in Gaza. President Biden reacts to word of a tentative deal between the United Auto Workers and General Motors following similar agreements with Ford and Stellantis.
These agreements ensure the iconic Big Three can still lead the world in quality and innovation.
In a major antitrust case, the Justice Department accuses Google of using anti-competitive tactics to maintain dominance in internet search.
The U.S. government does not have a very good track record when it comes to monopoly cases against the tech industry. 2 decades ago, when a judge declared that Microsoft was a monopoly, little substantively changed.
Tech contributor Ian Schur, CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers and Republicans who control the state legislature remain far apart on boosting Wisconsin's economy and dealing with the state's child care crisis. Republicans are proposing wide-ranging tax cuts and child care deregulation. The Democratic governor says that's not what child care centers need.
I'd like to see them sit in a room with six babies with one person. Come on.
Evers appeared on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. 60 hospitals in Wisconsin say they lost money last year. The price of supplies and services have climbed more than 26% since 2019. Salaries and fringe benefits have gone up by almost 14%. Medicare and Medicaid payments make up more than half of a hospital's income, but the industry says reimbursement rates fall short. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A suspect led Waukesha police on a chase before causing a multi-car collision on I-94 Saturday. The suspect initially fled from a traffic stop, resulting in a pursuit that was quickly terminated. Moments later, the suspect cut across traffic, causing one vehicle to roll over and striking another before ultimately crashing into a tree. A 74-year-old woman driving the rolled-over vehicle is in stable condition. The suspect, a 20-year-old, was arrested and is in stable condition. The bomb squad was called in after a recent donation to a Goodwill. A live cluster bomblet and ammunition were discovered among the donations at a Janesville Goodwill thrift store late last week. As a precautionary measure, the store and its surroundings were evacuated. Police are searching for the person responsible for depositing the item. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Packers lose to the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lose to the Vikings 24-10 at Lambeau Field. Green Bay charged with 9 penalties, a loss of 99 yards, disrupting their offense. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
That was obviously tough to watch. You know, just way too many mistakes.
The Vikings improved to 4-4, a game behind the Lions. But Minnesota has likely lost quarterback Kirk Cousins due to a torn Achilles tendon. NBA, the Bucks struggled on defense, losing to the Hawks last night 127-110 in Milwaukee. Head coach Adrian Griffin on what the Bucks tried to do to stop the Hawks shooters and guard Trae Young.
We tried a little bit of everything. You know, he's a great player.
And the Badgers losing to Ohio State Saturday night 24-10 at Camp Randall. Quarterback Braden Locke asked if it was less disappointing losing to a team ranked 3rd in the nation.
Thought it was an incredible atmosphere tonight, and you know, everybody wanted to get it done, and it sucks that we didn't.
That's Badgers quarterback Braden Locke. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy tonight with a chance of scattered snow showers. Lows around 24. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Snow showers likely tomorrow. High of 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media, our second hour. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. All points of view are welcome. No subject is off limits. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And I will tell you, I welcome your calls. I've said it in the first hour. We have some technical issues so that when you call with your question, you can hear me, but I can't hear you. So Anya, you will tell Anya, who will answer the call, and she will then message it to me, what you said. And that's worked very well, very, very well. So I encourage everybody to keep calling, and then she will message it to me. Well, there's an epic showdown coming in between the House and the Senate. I'll tell you what it is. And it's between Mitch McConnell in the Senate, possibly Mike Johnson in the House. I'm not sure how he's going to react to the following. It has to do with Ukraine aid. I mentioned in the previous hour that J.D. Vance had attacked Mike Johnson, and that gave me some hope that maybe Mike Johnson would do the right thing, because J.D. Vance is a lying son of a you-know-what. J.D. Vance, he's bad news. So if he's attacking Mike Johnson in Ukraine, maybe Mike Johnson might do something right. I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. However, the Senate has put together a proposal for aid to Israel and Ukraine and more money at the southern border to secure our border. That means that anybody who votes for it can easily explain to constituents back home why they did it, and they can single out the thing that's most important to the constituents. Mike Johnson has just put in a bill that's just Israel aid, which I support strongly, and everybody's going to support strongly. But it takes Ukraine into a separate field. And then the question is, does Mike Johnson let that go to the floor? Well, here's the thing. Some people say, and I think it's probably true, that this is probably Mitch McConnell's last term as in this case, minority leader. When the elections come up in 2024, he's not on the ballot. But nevertheless, it's very likely that because of the fact that he froze up a few times when he was speaking, that they're going to put somebody else in. The three principal contenders to replace him, to replace Mitch McConnell, are John Thune of South Dakota, John Barrasso of Wyoming, and John Cornyn of Texas. All of them support Ukraine aid, which is good. But they have people like J.D. Vance. They'll have people like St. Hawley of Missouri who won't. And as you know, because you've seen Tommy Tuberville not promote 350 admirals and generals because of the unanimous consent rule, there's going to be a fight in the Senate. Now, some people speculate that Mitch McConnell is doing this, going out to try to make a signature issue that will define his career and so forth. I want to get that back to some real basics. We have to support Ukraine. We have to provide them aid. We've been doing already. They've been magnificent. They're a country of 45 million people. Russia has 145 million people. Ukraine is the size of Texas. Russia's spans 11 time zones. Time zones. It is the largest landmass country in the world. It spans almost half the globe in time zones. And they're taking on, they're invading sadistically, genocidally Ukraine. We've got to stand with them. And they fought magnificently. Biden gave them the long-range missiles, although he engineered them down so that they only have 100-mile range instead of 180. He's afraid they go into Russia. I'll say again, Joe, give them the 180. They're not going to go into Russia. They'll just sit back 80 more miles in safety in Western Ukraine and take out the Russians in Crimea. I'm going to say this again, and then we're going to go to the next topic. There has got to be a strategic objective in this country eventually that the Russian nation as it's presently constituted ceases to exist. They have produced nothing but genocide, sadism, and fraud since the First World War, when they killed the Romanovs, when Lenin came in, Stalin and everybody else. Now it's Putin, Stalinesque, 10 years in the 90s where they tried for democracy. The oligarchs took it over, and now Putin is another Stalin. They cannot be permitted to have 11 times those of land, all that oil and gas, and continue to invade neighbors and torture them. The objective has to be that eventually there'll be two cities, St. Petersburg and Moscow, with a small land corridor, and they can make their living on tourism. That's all that culture is good for. In the 19th century, they produced Dostoevsky and Pushkin and Gogol and Tchaikovsky and some great mathematicians. That don't cut it. In the vernacular, that don't cut it. That was 120 years ago or more. And sadisms. Very, very tired of them. Now, I'm going to get back to our country, and I'll tell you something else. Their chief lackey here, crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump, servile to Putin. Afraid of Putin. I don't want a president who's afraid of Putin. I want a president who Putin's afraid of our president. You see what I'm saying? I don't want our president to be afraid of Putin. I want Putin to be afraid of our president. But let me tell you the polls in Iowa. Iowa. There's nothing halfway about the Iowa greeting if they greet you, which they may not do at all. The Music Man. Remember The Music Man? What a great musical. Well, surprise in the polls. Haley tied for second place with DeSantis, 16%. DeSantis is down 3 points. She's up 10 points from the last poll. Crooked Donald Trump is even up a couple of points. Crooked Donald Trump is at 43%. Tim Scott at 7%. Chris Christie at 4%. Vivek Ramaswamy, 4%. Doug Burgum, 3%. Asa Hutchinson, 1%. And several names I just read don't qualify for this debate, and some didn't qualify for the last debate. Some people speculate why Trump is doing so well in the Republican primary. Some people speculate why Mike Pence dropped out. Well, let me tell you something. And let's go a little beyond the speculation. Mike Pence didn't qualify for the next debate. He doesn't have 70,000 donors, and he doesn't have any money. But more to the point, people can smell inauthenticity. They can smell fear. Mike Pence went around sticking up for the guy who wanted him killed. Why do I say that? Because the rabble cried, "Hang Mike Pence." and they build a gallows, and they didn't build it that morning. That gallows had been built by carpenters before that. Trump laughed at that. And when he was asked at an interview afterwards, they said, well, what do you think about they saying they want to hang Mike Pence? And he didn't say that was a bad thing. He said, well, you know, he betrayed me. Trump is a sociopath. Some would say a psychopath. At least a sociopath. I don't want to promote him. Sociopath. Your vice president. And what does Mike Pence do? What would you do if you were a vice president and served this guy for 4 years and his supporters said, hang Mike Pence? Pence had to hide, had to run. Remember, he ran down the corridors and all that. I would take Trump on right away. It has nothing to do with ideology or anything else. I'd say the guy's a crook. He's no good. He tried to hang me. Well, I got news for you, Jack. You didn't succeed. And now you're getting hanged. Metaphorically, of course, not violently. Metaphorically, of course, not violently. You're no good. You're a bully. Everybody around you goes to jail, and I'm taking you on. If Pence had done that, he'd be at 15 or 20%. He'd have more than 70,000 donors. He would have showed some spine. He showed no spine. He'd showed up and shrugged. Well, you know, it's like anything else. It's like anything else. Well, that's baloney. We don't need a guy like that. And with Trump, it comes down, and then I'll answer. There was another comment here from two excellent people. The comment is on Trump. Why, when he's been indicted 91 times, 91 felony indictments in four courts by three prosecutors, he has 91 felony counts against him. Are they doing this? It comes down to immigration and race. Immigration and race. And the seeming failure to control our southern border and the racial divisions that he's stoked, that is the reason. He could go out and shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and he could be indicted. He could be indicted. And you know what? He would still be at 43%. Okay, we have 2 minutes to go. I'm going to read. There are two comments, one from Joe from Madison and one from Chris. I'm going to start reading them. We're not going to finish my response. We'll go to a break and then I'll respond after. Joe from Madison asks, there are many nations who will not extradite a criminal back to the U.S. if one escapes and hides there. This is great. What is to stop Trump, a private citizen who could afford a private plane ride to anywhere, from escaping to one of these places forever if the court case looks like it's going to go poorly for him? Joe, that's terrific. I always love your comments and questions. The answer is nothing, because they did not take his passport. And they are not putting travel restrictions on him because he's running for president. So he could do that. But let me be blunt. We're not talking Napoleon going to St. Helena's or something, you know, or putting the Isle of Elba. Trump, if he did that, you know, I'm sure Putin would put him up too. But that would be the humiliation of humiliations. That said, I'm not laughing entirely. He actually could have a private plane, certainly take him like to Bermuda or something, and then skip off from there and go to South Africa. Excellent, excellent comment. We're going to a break. Chris asked, and this is a teaser for the next show, the next segment, who are we to determine if Russia is allowed to exist? Is there anything we can do in the Senate now to deal with the upcoming unanimous consent issue? Excellent questions, Chris. You will lead off the next segment. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to a quick break.
The dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Two terrific questions or comments from Chris. First, who are we to determine if Russia is allowed to exist? Well, let me give you my response. I've been to Russia. I went with a delegation of the Justice Department in 1997 to give lectures to Russian lawyers, prosecutors, and some members of their Duma in St. Petersburg on our legal system, because that was the heyday of glasnost. That was the heyday of the thaw, where there was even talk about Russia joining the EU and NATO. Their people, Gorbachev and then Yeltsin and then his cabinet, were stand-up. Some of them were really stand-up guys. And we gave them talks on how our criminal system works, how our civil system works, examples of statutes and that kinds of thing. They're wonderful people. The Russian people should always exist. But their system of government, first of all, for 1,000 years under the czars, but even since the Romanovs were killed during the First World War, it's about 106 years ago. Ever since then, they've had Lenin and Stalin, Khrushchev, Brezhnev, Kosygin. Gorbachev and Yeltsin were a slight breath of fresh air, and then we end up with Putin. The Gulag, the tortures. Stalin killed more than 20 million people. Now, this is not something that's done lightly. And I also want to address your question of who are we to do it. They have nuclear weapons. We don't want a nuclear war. But when time goes on, people like Putin are overthrown, killed by their own people. They get a normal government maybe for another 10 years. I think we go to them and say, look, we want you in NATO and we want you in the EU. And I frankly liked their culture. I liked their food. I liked to eat pelmeni. How many of these little sauces, they're little dumplings like pierogies. In Poland, it would be pierogi. There's pelmeni. You can put cheese in or sausage or sauerkraut or good stuff, very good stuff. And they have a long history, but they have a history of sadism and fraud and genocide too, for very recently. Remember, they the ones who allied with Hitler. They're very big now and going, oh, we don't like the Nazis. They were Nazis, and Putin's a Nazi, because what they did was, in 1940, they entered into a mutual non-aggression pact with Adolf Hitler and the sweetener where they were going to divide up Poland and torture and murder the Poles. And then Hitler betrayed Stalin in Operation Barbarossa, and he went and he invaded Russia. They were allied with Hitler. We don't want that again. So when you ask, who are we? We're the United States. Who is Russia to say that Ukraine shouldn't exist? Who is Russia to say that Poland didn't exist between 1795 and 1917? Russia, Prussia, and Austria divided up Poland, and it wasn't on a map. If anybody sells you a map of Europe in the 19th century, in the 1800s, and has Poland on it, it's a fraud. It's a forgery. Poland disappeared between about 1795 and 1917 or 18. Then it was restored till Hitler went in. And then Russia took it over in 1945 and abused it until about 1989. And Pope John Paul II and Lech Walesa and other people, leaders of that stature, gave Poland its freedom again. It's only been totally free since 1989. So we don't want this system anymore of the Russians. Now, how do you do it in a humane way without starting a war? And I'm saying the next time you get anybody who's halfway human, like they did in the early 90s, and Bill Clinton did his best to try to effectuate this, bring them into NATO and the EU, but they have to give up their nuclear weapons. And they don't need 11 time zones of gas and oil. We want that gas and oil. Europe wants it. I'm sure China wants some of it, and Asia, and, you know, why should they have it? But ultimately, it's might makes right. And they've been practicing that for 100 years. And what I'm saying is now it's time for the shoe to be on the foot. When you ask if there's anything we can do in the Senate now to deal with the upcoming unanimous consent issue, unanimous consent issue isn't upcoming. It's in there because they think they're the House of Lords, all 100 of them. I don't exempt the Democrats from it. It's a little known secret that the majority, and we have 51, assuming Manchin and Sinema go along, can overturn any of these rules. The filibuster, we could overturn the filibuster just with 51 votes and never have it again, or overturn it for like the Voting Rights Act or for Ukraine aid, but nobody will do it. We could get rid of unanimous consent. Tommy Tuberville isn't human. Tommy Tuberville has said he's a white supremacist. His definition, he said, is an American is a white supremacist. A white supremacist is just somebody who supports Donald Trump. But nobody's doing anything about it. A lot of the Democrats forced Al Franken out of the Senate for what they thought was crude conduct, nothing wrong. And they don't force Tuberville out of the Senate. They don't even criticize Tuberville. In the House of Lords in the 19th century, and even today, but especially in the 19th century, they all dressed up, fancy clothes, they drank together, and they passed on legislation. And they deferred to one another. This is the model the Senate is using. It's not constitutional to let one senator block the majority. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that. But these clowns are doing that. And we figured out a way, and when I say we, the Democratic Party, is okay, get around unanimous consent, not for all of them, but put them in blocks of 150 or 200 admirals and generals. But that can be filibustered. Tuberville would then call it a filibuster, not unanimous consent. It would take 9 Republicans. You know what? There aren't 9 Republicans who want our admirals and generals right in the middle of a war. We don't have the head of the Fifth Fleet who's involved in this war. We don't have a chief of naval operations. Are you kidding me? And there are 2 aircraft carrier detachments in the Eastern Mediterranean? Because there are not 9 Republicans who will stand up to Tuberville. And no Republican, no Democrat will get rid of unanimous consent. So how to deal with it? Put in some senators with spine who say, we're not the House of Lords. We're America. We beat the House of Lords. Back in the 18th century, we beat the House of Lords. So their vanity no longer means anything to us. We are not going to permit that to happen here. We don't have an ambassador to Israel right now or Egypt. Israel or Egypt, who both flanked the Gaza Strip. We don't have an ambassador because of Rand Paul. We didn't have an ambassador to Niger when the Islamic coup took over, threw the guy out who's friendly to us, who was not an Islamicist. And now they're flying Russian flags and murdering Christians. This is the Republican Party, guys. If you're a Republican or independent, do not vote for any of them. And give our Democrats a good kick in the seat of the pants. Get rid of this unconstitutional unanimous consent rule. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democrats in the Wisconsin State Senate see a lot in the bill to maintain American Family Field that they do not like. State Senator Kelda Royes was on Upfront on WISN-TV yesterday. She says she doesn't think any Senate Democrat would vote for the bill as it stands. Republicans who run the Senate say they likely need some Democrats to vote for the bill. Negotiations over amendments are happening now. The head of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau is opposed to the Department of Natural Resources' new wolf management plan. Kevin Krentz says the DNR should have specific population goals for wolves. Instead, the DNR is moving to an adjustable population goal, which is the same as for deer and other animals. The Farm Bureau says wolves are killing too many deer and livestock. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Two separate crashes in Milwaukee last night resulted in fatalities. Police say the first was when a driver exited the freeway at a high speed, lost control, hit another vehicle, and causing it to roll and collide with a utility pole. The driver of the second vehicle died, while the driver of the first vehicle was arrested. In the second crash, a car blew a red light and collided with another car. One passenger from the second vehicle died, and the driver of the first vehicle was arrested. Charges are being referred to the Milwaukee County DA in both cases. The second round of fall leaf collection in the city of Waukesha started today. You can see your leaf collection dates and track the crew's progress on a map posted on the city's website. Collection crews ask that you make sure to put only loose leaves out and that they are raked to the grassy area between the sidewalk and the street. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Packers lose to the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lose to the Vikings 24-10 at Lambeau Field. Green Bay charged with 9 penalties, a loss of 99 yards, disrupting their offense. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
That was obviously tough to watch. You know, just way too many mistakes.
The Vikings improved to 4-4, a game behind the Lions, but Minnesota has likely lost quarterback Kirk Cousins due to a torn Achilles tendon. NBA, the Bucks struggled on defense, losing to the Hawks last night 127-110 in Milwaukee. Head coach Adrian Griffin on what the Bucks tried to do to stop the Hawks shooters and guard Trae Young.
We tried a little bit of everything. You know, he's a great player.
And the Badgers losing to Ohio State Saturday night 24-10 at Camp Randall. Quarterback Braden Locke asked if it was less disappointing losing to a team ranked third in the nation.
Thought it was an incredible atmosphere tonight, and you know, everybody wanted to get it done, and it sucks that we didn't.
That's Badgers quarterback Braden Locke. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy tonight with a chance of scattered snow showers. Lows around 24. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Snow showers likely tomorrow. High of 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Ah, 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 ah
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, we have a couple more comments and questions, and let me go to both of them right now. Keith asks, how can one senator from either party be able to block a vote by themselves like Tuberville? And the answer is a doctrine called unanimous consent that's not in the Constitution. But the way things work is the Senate, for instance, will pass a budget or they'll pass an appropriation. And you know there's not going to be unanimous consent, so you have a full debate on it. And one of the anomalies of the Senate, unlike the House, is any senator can get up and talk as long as he wants. There's no time limit. And then as he's about to faint from hunger or sleep, he can say, I yield my time to the distinguished idiot from Mississippi. And then he'll get up. They did this back in the 60s to block civil rights. They just get up and read from the Bible. They read literally a book of the Bible. Then I yield to the distinguished idiot from Alabama, and he would read a Shakespeare play. This went on. When TV came along, looked embarrassing. So what they've done now is you don't have to get up on your hind legs and do that. You can just say, I filibuster. That's what you have to say. That means that you have to get 60 votes to overcome it and go to a vote. And you can't do that because the Republicans won't go along. But the unanimous consent is even worse. Unanimous consent is frequently there's so much business before the Senate, you can't possibly expect that you're going to have a full discussion of stuff. So you go, okay, we want to promote 100 admirals and generals. I take it there's unanimous consent to this occurring. And throughout our history, they've had unanimous consent. If there's a problem with one promotion, somebody raises his hand and says, well, except for Jones, I have some info. Okay, we'll put him aside. The rest are okay. Tommy Tuberville, to injure the United States and make Joe Biden somehow his job harder, has said, no, I don't give unanimous consent for any of them. Well, unanimous means 100. It doesn't mean 99. Unanimous means 100, not 99. So that means that you have to take them one at a time and let Tuberville and his running dogs and his lackeys talk as long as they want about each one. There are 350 of them. The Senate is in session several hours a day. They go home to campaign. They wouldn't do anything. If they had to do 350 full-blown discussions, it would take them till February or March. That's what unanimous consent means. And so that's how they block it. That could be stopped. That could be stopped if Schumer got up and said, I move unanimous consent. Tuberville say no. And then Schumer would say, well, we're going to proceed anyway. Do I have 60 votes to proceed, at least as a bunch of these? He only has 51 votes. He has only 51 votes. He needs 9 Republicans. Even that, he can't get it. That's how it happens. It's wrong. It's unconstitutional. And the next caller hit it. He said, Tom asks, Matt, would you ever have Tammy Baldwin on the show? If so, would you ask her why she hasn't done the things you deem to be the right things in her position? I think highly of Tammy Baldwin. She's a friend of mine. I've always voted for her. But I'll tell you what, there are 100 senators, and none of them, not a single one, has put in a resolution saying, let's get rid of unanimous consent. Not one of them. And my belief is because the Senate is the most exclusive club in the world, and it looks like it's kind of a prestigious thing. I can block anything. Well, most of them don't block anything. But Tuberville says he's a white supremacist. I'm not saying it. He says it. He says it. He hates liberal democracy. He hates the United States. He's doing this to hurt Biden. And it's not just Tammy Baldwin. It's all 51 Democrats won't do anything. And the 49 Republicans won't do anything. With regard to on the show, you know, I don't do interviews. So anybody, including Tammy, is very welcome to call anytime she wants. But what I would do is call her office, Ron Johnson's office, Schumer's office, any of these offices, and say, why is your senator supporting unanimous consent? It's not in the Constitution. Todd or Billy asked, why is Schumer allowing Menendez to continue serving on the Foreign Affairs Committee? Excellent question, Todd or Billy, as always. Menendez has just been indicted on essentially being an agent for Egypt, not disclosing it, and taking bribes. Taking hundreds of thousands of dollars, he had a gold bar. I mean, of all the cheap, stupid things, a gold bar, for Pete's sake, reminds me of the guy in Louisiana who's unfortunately is a Democrat too. He took bribes and he put them in sort of bricks of bills and stuck them in his freezer because he thought that if there's a search warrant, they wouldn't look his refrigerator. This guy was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Of course, they found it. And, you know, you have frozen money in a freezer. That does not look good to juries. Menendez, he has a gold bar. And they can tell on his computer, he went online trying to find out how much it was worth. He's on the Foreign Affairs Committee. He was the chairman. Schumer took him off the committee. He took him off the chairmanship, I should say. And the Democrats have a dilemma. To me, it was unconscionable that they got together to drive Al Franken out of the Senate. He was one of our great senators. He didn't commit any crimes at all. But why are they not driving Menendez out? Forget the committee, just drive him out. I think it's because he's been charged, but he's not yet been convicted. You know, Republicans aren't throwing George Santos out either. And they don't want to prejudice somebody because that would get around and it would very much prejudice the jury. You ask a good question, though. Why is he serving on any committees? And I'll tell you, I haven't talked to Chuck Schumer. He doesn't call me and I don't call him. But here's my speculation. The Senate is so divided that if they took him off, there'd be equal numbers. There would be equal power of the two parties. And on foreign affairs, that's a very important committee with funding to Israel, funding Ukraine. It would, in effect, let the Republicans blackball committee votes. I shouldn't say blackball, but control them and stop whatever they wanted. Now you might say, Todd or Billy, why doesn't he take him off and put somebody else on? Believe it or not, because of the Senate rules, he can't do that with the consent of the other party. The Senate has been strangled by these unconstitutional rules. And then the next comment is a great one. Anya asks, is that what he thought frozen assets were? Yeah, the bricks of $1,100 bills in his freezer. You know, I mean, you got to laugh or you'd cry. You've got to laugh or you'd cry. These guys are taking cash. Not a lot of them, but some of them do. I want to turn to the war in the Middle East, the sadistic attack against Israel, and then Israel's response. There's a couple of things I want everybody to understand. Hamas, over the last several years, Hamas, by the way, is like ISIS. It's like Al-Qaeda. It doesn't want to govern. It's a Nazi entity. It wants to slaughter people who racially and religiously are different from them. And now they say, well, there has to be more food, medicine, and fuel into Gaza. In the tunnels, Hamas has hidden large amounts of food, medicine, and fuel, gasoline, for themselves. The fuel is to launch rockets to illuminate their tunnels where they have these hostages, and I think in some cases have tortured them and are torturing them in cash. They have cash. New supplies that come in, they will grab much of them and keep them for themselves. Number two, Israel has advanced into Gaza several miles now. There's no such thing as a Hamas membership card. It's like, oh, you know, there's only like 800 people in Hamas. Us and everybody else is innocent. The people in Gaza voted for Hamas And the Israelis have gone through the kibbutzes. They've gone through the areas that were savaged, where people were murdered and tortured. They're finding body parts, small body parts, which they're trying to trace by DNA. Many of these people were tortured before they died, including kids, and sliced up while they were still alive. One of the saddest ones was as a woman who is a dual citizen of Germany and Israel. And you've seen her picture. I don't have her name, I don't think, right here. She was a very beautiful young woman. They caught her at this dance. They raped her. They paraded her body through Gaza with her legs spread so far apart, it clearly cracked her. And you know what the crowd did? They spit on the body. Well, just yesterday, the Israeli government notified her mom, who's in Germany. And here's what they said. We have found a bone, which from DNA we know came from your daughter. It's a small bone, but it's the kind of bone that if you don't have it, you can't live. But that means that this girl, and she, when I say girl, she was probably 22 or something, was so badly torn apart by savages, by wolves. And remember something, in New York, these people that laughed about this at the demonstration, marching the Israeli consulate with a Nazi, with a swastika. And one of the speakers got up and laughed and said, well, the resistance came over and they caught some hipsters, like she's a hipster, and took them back into Gaza. But they're okay. And then they laughed, the whole crowd laughed and said, don't believe what the newspapers tell you. This was sadism. This was not warfare. And the people that we ill-advisedly apparently let into the country are sadists to have said and done that. This is not a case where you have a ceasefire and you look for people who hadn't spit on her and didn't support Hamas and say that, well, we should worry about that. ISIS had to be destroyed. Al-Qaeda had to be destroyed. We went into Mosul and Fallujah in Iraq and destroyed ISIS. They were doing exactly the same stuff. Exactly the same stuff. And that can be done here. And yes, there are many, very good Palestinians who would find this abhorrent. But you cannot let sadists like this continue to go around and do this. At Cornell University, a great university in Ithaca, New York, Ivy League University, the Jewish Center is now under guard because of death threats. And these death threats, don't kid yourself, these are not all coming from the right wing. Many of the death threats and anti-Semitic acts, especially in the East and the Northeast, are done by people that we let in through immigration from jihadist cultures. There is a professor in the history department at Cornell who spoke at one of the protests, smiling, and he said he was exhilarated when he heard what Hamas had done. And Cornell has not fired him. At the University of California in Davis, one of the professors said that, as she put it, Zionist journalists who supported Israel should be retaliated against. We know their addresses and they have kids. This sickness is in the United States. I'm very, very tired of people somehow in a false equivalence comparing anything. This was Nazi-style sadism. I'm going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The Shaw, WAUK.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way.
That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering where it will go. I'm filling the cracks that ran through the door and kept...
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is terrific. I think this is a terrific thing I'm about to tell you. A media group, consortium of media people, filed a motion on October 5th asking Tanya Chutkan to permit the Trump trial by Jack Smith to be televised. And now Tanya Chutkan has ordered Trump to file a response by November 10th, whether he objects or agrees. Why is this so terrific? Because trials can't be televised. Trials can't be televised in federal court. The U.S. Supreme Court has not permitted that. But Tanya Chutkan has guts. And what the media consortium said was this. The media consortium says, we understand you can't do it in federal court, but we're asking you to use your power as a federal judge to permit it in this case, because this guy's a former president and he's running for president, and it's of more intense public interest than any trial in the century. Now, this puts Trump in a heck of a box. If Trump says, no, I don't want it, he looks like he's hiding the ball, because a lot of people have pointed out that Judge Erdogan in New York could have permitted it to be filmed, televised, because state court you can, in most states, including New York. And as a courtesy to Trump, he didn't do it. But if Trump says, no, I don't want it televised, what he's really saying is, I want to do what I'm doing in New York, which is every night go out and lie about what happened in court. And nobody can contradict me. The press can, but nobody's seen it. So he's damned if you do and damned if you don't. If he says, yes, it's fine, Chutkan will enter an order. Now, the Supreme Court could overturn it, but I have a question. You don't have to be a lawyer to answer this question. If Trump doesn't appeal that and Smith doesn't appeal it, how does it get to the Supreme Court? I think Trump will have his lawyers weasel and go, I would love it, but the Supreme Court says you can't do it. No, that kind of thing. The guy is a master weasel. But this is very, very funny. There's a lot of conflicting opinion on whether trial should be televised or not. I will say that I represented the media for a long time in my practice. I represented WSN-TV Channel 12 in Milwaukee, the Hearst affiliate, if you've ever watched that. It's a great, great TV station. WSN Radio, when Hearst owned it, and then it was sold, but it still uses the call letters WSN. And many times in Milwaukee and Madison around the state, judges would go, no, I don't want the media in here. And I'd go over and I'd argue and I'd get the media in there. So I've done this a lot. There are times, like in the O.J. Simpson trial, where I felt that it hurt because the judge preened. O.J. Simpson was guilty of sin. He killed those two people. But the judge was preening and he was a TV celebrity, and the juries thought they were celebrities, even though they weren't on TV, because you can't do the photograph the jury. And it affected the jury verdict, in my opinion. They thought this was sort of funny money. This is sort of a fantasy. But in this case, I think it would be a good idea, because Trump is going to have to sit there, and it's a criminal trial, so he doesn't have to testify. And if he doesn't testify after he's already shut his mouth off, you know, saying how often he, you know, he's going to testify in every case. And then he never testifies or takes the fifth. And so this would really catch the guy. So good for Tanya Chutkan. She's put him in a bind. And as a result, by November 10, he has to say, yeah, I agree it being televised or I don't. If he says I don't, he's clearly a liar, because in New York, he's claiming he wished he had a jury trial when he waived it. Here, he's always claiming, if only I could testify and everybody see me. I don't think he'll testify in this case. And then number two, if he says okay, then he is in tough shape, because if she says yes, and the Supreme Court says, well, we'll make an exception in this case, he's going to be there in front of God and everybody. And I can tell you, no criminal lawyer would let him testify in this case. If he testifies the way he boasts and lies, and not only will he commit perjury, but even if he's not prosecuted for that perjury, anybody looking at it is going to say, my God, this is the guy who's running for president? My God. Well, we got another comment, a great comment from Dave from Madison, a sad comment. Dave from Madison added to what I had previously talked about before the break. He said he's also observed added security at all the Jewish community events he's attended in Madison as well. This is really intolerable. This is frankly intolerable. That this has been happening in Europe for a long time, ever since Angela Merkel let a million refugees in from cultures, jihadist cultures, who fanned out all over Europe, went to Paris, France, went to London, England, went to Stockholm, they went to Barcelona, and there have been attacks against Jews all over Europe. And now it's happening in this country. And it's happening largely, in large part anyway, not just from the right wing, although there's some of that, but from people we have brought in from jihadist cultures. And that was wrong. It's wrong to somehow isolate a community in this country as part of our history from the beginning of the country and require added security at their events. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. It was a great show. It was an odd show because I loved your comments and many of you called in, but Anya had to send them to me on the message board. This will hopefully be fixed by tomorrow. We're very excited at Civic Media about how we're spreading around the state, doing a lot of engineering and a lot of other things all at once. And so Matt Flynn Direct, we'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stand by for another great program with Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate. And I'm signing off for today. I'm taking the time for a number of things that weren't important yesterday, and I still come.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.